Welcome to the Sowing Hope Podcast. This is a show all about implanting hope in our hearts. I'm Bill Snyder, joined by my friend Ann DeSantis. We're glad you're here for our uplifting conversation about faith and how it sustains our hearts through all the seasons of life. Thanks for walking with us. And good morning, everybody, and welcome to Sowing Hope. I'm Bill Snyder, and as always, joined by Ann DeSantis. Good morning. We are back, sowing hope into your hearts, and hopefully we are also providing you some companionship along these digital media, these viral times that we're living in more than one way, folks. So, Ann, welcome into the program, as always, and why don't you tell people who we have on as a special guest today?
Good morning, everyone. And yes, good morning, Bill. I'm excited because right now we have with us Mr. Gary Simak. He is an author, he is a speaker, and he's a broadcaster too. So Gary, welcome.
And so great to be on with you and Bill today.
How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, it's I agree with Bill, man. These are some strange times right now. But, you know, I have already seen and the blessings that have come out of this this difficult period of this coronavirus crisis. And one of the main things, Ann, that I am learning is that I'm not in control. You know, that's something I thought I mastered. I thought I got this. But boy, I had no idea how little control I had over my life. But, you know, the Lord is the Lord's getting my attention and really the attention of many people around the world. And I think that good can come out of this. We need to keep praying for an end to this this virus and for all the people who are suffering. But the Lord is, I've already seen good come out of this, and he will continue to bring good out of it because he's bigger than this. And he's not going anywhere. He is with us. He's walking with us. And I think, Ann, as long as we keep our focus on the Lord, we're going to be okay.
Absolutely. And you've written about worry, and I am so grateful for the one book that I have right in front of me here, Give Up Worry for Lent. It came at the perfect time for me last year because you and I met when you came on my TV show, The Positive Side on RBN TV, and you were a wonderful guest, and we talked about your writing. This is an amazing book about 40 days to finding peace in Christ. And I would say that it's so timely this year, Gary.
Yeah, and I thank you for your kind words. I really enjoyed when I got to be on your TV show. And I have been getting emails and calls, and I've been meeting people who are saying that this book is really getting them through this crisis right now. And the book is actually, it sold out last year. It sold out on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The publisher completely sold out. This year, they were even more prepared. They had many more copies. And once again, the book sold out. Believe it or not, even cracking the top 100 in sales for all of Amazon's books. And I think the estimate is like 32 million books. So obviously the Lord is blessing this work. And I'm just the instrument. And I am really humbled when I see what this book is doing in people's lives. And it's a reminder. It's a constant reminder for me as well to that I need to trust in him, because I have this tendency, as I said a few minutes ago, to want to be in control. And that doesn't work for a follower of Jesus. Either you follow him or you get ahead of him. And if you really follow him, you have to surrender your life and control of your life to him.
So true. And we're learning that this morning as we're on this podcast, because we are, most of us, I would say, the great majority of us are home, correct?
Yeah.
And not going anywhere with our families and dealing with what we have to deal with by not being able to get out there and work and go to the store. And most of all, you know, for we as Catholics, getting to Mass, receiving the sacraments. And I know that's been painful for so many. It's painful for myself. But I'm glad that God is with us no matter what, and he doesn't leave us. And I know you understand that too, Gary.
Yeah, and that's absolutely about the it being painful. I mean, I went to daily Mass for I don't know how long, and all of a sudden, it's the one thing I never really expected to give up for Lent. And I think many people have made that comment. None of us expected to be denied access to the sacraments, But it's just another reminder that we are really not in control of our lives. The Lord's in control. But I think the great thing for us to remember, and this can be something that we could forget, but we don't want to forget, is that according to the church, and this is in the catechism, God is not bound by the sacraments. He is really bigger than the sacraments. So we can still be receiving the grace that he wants us to have, even though we can't have access to the sacraments right now. I think that's important for us to remember.
It is. It is. And it's consoling to hear that. So I'm glad that you mentioned that on the program. And also wanted to make a shout out for those listening, especially, well, could be anywhere. I was going to say in the greater Philadelphia area, we have a nightly rosary that's going on.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Gary, if you've been partaking in that. As a family, we've been doing it, and it's a blessing. At 8 p.m. Eastern time, the Archdiocese of Philadelphia is hosting that nightly rosary. And last night, they had Bishop McIntyre and Megan Coakley with the Archdiocese. So maybe somehow, Bill, we can put that in the show notes, how people can connect on the rosary.
Yes, absolutely. We can do that. And just a reminder to people that it is in the previous show's notes for the past, I think, two episodes that's been in there. So if you want to click on that right now, just go to the archives of the program and you'll be able to find that right in the show notes. There's that. There's also the Psalm 91 prayer group that's in the show notes from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And that's, the really good thing that we can do is continue to join others in prayer, via virtual, virtual ways. You know, last night, for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, I'm part of the Charismatic Renewal Discernment Group, for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. And last night we had a prayer group, that was, right over the air. I mean, everybody just joined in. Our diocesan liaison just led, I think 40 people in prayer. Wow. over the airwaves. So I mean, it's just as awesome that we can do this over conference call, over Zoom Messenger. I mean, thank God, as we're in quarantine here, or whatever you want to call it, we're able to connect with one another. And man, we crave time like this. We really do. It's like I get to see, another human being on the other side of this, TV screen, right?
That's right. And let's face it, as much as it's difficult for all of us and very challenging, as Christians, I think we can look at some of the blessings. And I think the greatest blessing of this time is that we are spending time with family, for those who do have family. I know that some of our listeners may be living alone, and we send out our prayers to everyone. But that's a video call. If you are alone, you can do a phone call, video call.
And there are the exact technical issues that we deal with, folks.
Spend more time reading, spend more
time. Whoops, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's okay. And it's just the internet. Hello? Just the internet on your end's running a little slow. And it's okay. You're fine. Just stay connected. Gary, I want to ask you real quick about fear and moving into, and moving from it into faith, because I think there's a lot of people out there scared right now. I mean, I just think people are terrified. What things are changing by the hour. Right. You tune in and man, it's like, bam, you're looking for something. And all of a sudden, the next thing changes and you're like, wait a minute, what just happened? So yeah. how do we get out of that fear mode? How do we get out of fear mode?
Yeah. Yeah. Bill, you bring up a great point. And that's one of the things that as somebody who has really struggled with anxiety throughout my life, specifically for me, it has always been medical anxiety. From when I was a young kid, I was a hypochondriac. I thought I had every disease imaginable. And the way it would go is when I thought I had a disease, I would go to the bookstore. It was a lot harder. You didn't have the internet, so you'd have to look up your symptoms at the bookstore or the library. And you'd try to look up your particular disease that you thought you had. And you would say, all right, I'm going to look up the symptoms and then I'll feel better when I realize I don't have these symptoms. Well, I see the same thing happening nowadays with the news, because what happens is you go to the news and you say, well, I'm going to just make myself feel better. I want to hear that this disease is slowing down. I want to hear good news. And what do you hear? You hear, well, it's speeding up and it's the percentages have increased that you're going to get it. And you go looking for relief and you end up being blindsided by more negative news. In the same way, you look up symptoms if you're a hypochondriac and you expect to feel better and you feel worse because you find out you may have this disease that you think you have. So I think the key is, first of all, we have to recognize that fear is legitimate. In this case, we have every right to be afraid or concerned about this coronavirus. It is a real threat. And that's one of the reasons God gave us the ability to experience fear, because fear, legitimate fear, can serve as a way to preserve our lives. It can cause us to take action. If somebody comes at me with a gun, I'm going to try to do what I can to run the other way to get out of the situation. So there are legitimate fears in life. However, what we want to make sure is that our fear doesn't lead us to worry, which can happen so many times when we just watch the news constantly and feed into this endless stream of negativity and the potential of everything in the world going wrong, but let our fear lead us to greater faith in the Lord. That's why it's important. This rosary group that Ann just talked about, my family and I have been participating in that along with, we had 2,400 households last night, and the number keeps going up each night. What you're talking about, Bill, we see more and more evidence of people turning to God in this time of crisis. He's the one who can get us out of this too. He's going to make us feel better. He's going to give us peace, and he can really change this thing and turn it around. So rather than just getting spun up about the news, and it is important to be informed. Don't get me wrong. It is important. But at some point, we got to turn off the news and open up our Bible or hit our knees or start praying and turn to the Lord, because you guys know that's where the peace comes in, from the Lord.
Yes. You know, absolutely. You are totally right that, you know, when you finally turn off the TV and have some quiet time, you know, the other night, my wife was, you know, she was, saying, you know what, I just don't want to watch TV. She's, you know, yeah. I think I'm going to do some work for a while. Like, I just can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's just constant. You know, we have been finding, you know, I've been finding that in my life. It's like, you know what, I don't need to be, you know, constantly plugged into this TV. You know, yeah, I've got to be aware of the updates, but you can get them live on Twitter. You can get them live on other ways that, you know, when the governor makes an announcement that, you know, there's an all stop or, you know, no business is open or whatever you want to call it.
Right,
but like,
right.
But yeah, I just feel that there's so many people that, you know, can get, as you said, Gary, can just get wrapped up in the craziness of it all, that they forget that God is God. You know, I mean, it's that Psalm. I read that Psalm somewhere. It might've been posted by you on social media somewhere. Be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got us, you know, God hasn't changed in this whole thing. God is the one constant that hasn't changed, right? God doesn't change, right?
No. And Bill, you make a brilliant point, and that's exactly what we need to remember. God has not changed. And in fact, I'll go a step further. Our situation has not really changed. Yeah, externally it has. I made this point on my daily radio show yesterday. Externally, a lot has changed, but what has changed really in the big picture? God's still in charge. We're not. I mean, he is still every bit as in control as he was before this whole coronavirus thing started. So he's still in control. We are not. That has not changed. That will not change. And Bill, one of the things I see that is getting people, that drives people crazy, is we see numerous experts on TV telling us how this is going to play out. It's going to be 4 weeks. It's going to be 8 weeks. It'll be 8 months. 80% of the people will be stricken. I mean, they don't know. And we find ourselves listening to these people and getting upset by them just offering speculation. And the various people who are speculating, they disagree with one another. So we have an endless stream of predictions, none of which are absolutely guaranteed to come true. I mean, let's look at where we are now. Who among us would have thought we would be here when we started this crisis a few weeks ago. I mean, this thing is escalating rapidly. So we have to remember, as you said, God is in control. He is the one we should listen to. And right now we need to know that He's not going to leave us. He is with us. How long will this be? I have no idea, but I know the Lord's with me and we are alive. Everybody listening to this right now, the three of us, we are all alive right now. Praise God for that. He has got us to this point. We're right here now. Tomorrow, I have no idea. 10 minutes from now, I have no idea. But I think that's a good thing. That's a good mindset to have for Lent. We want to remember that, yeah, we mess up. We take control of our lives, or at least we think we do. Let's give it back to the Lord during Lent. Let's move away from those things that keep us away from Him, and let's let Him be God.
Yeah,
that's right. And I'm calling on Him right now that my internet is a great connection. So
there you go.
That's my prayer right now that you can all hear me. And I ask for your forgiveness for those who couldn't hear me 5 minutes ago or so. So hopefully I'm coming in clearly right now.
You are.
And but yeah, everything that you both are saying is so true. And I think that one thing that we can look at is that there's people that are listening or not listening that maybe haven't ever really thought too much about God or about faith, but now it's kind of coming across their, you know, their plates. They're thinking about the idea of, hey, you know, I need help, and the only person who's really going to be able to help me out is God.
Yeah.
Because I lost my job. I don't have money. I don't have toilet paper, whatever. I mean, just throwing that one out there.
That's a big one, Anne. You know, that, I mean, seriously, that hits home with me.
You know,
seriously.
And you know, one of the things I want to just bring up about the toilet paper, and I think I said this on last week's episode, and I will repeat it again because I didn't find any toilet paper again this week at the store. Folks, as a Catholic, you know, what I would say is be respectful of other people. And here's the thing. When you go into a store and you're hoarding this stuff, you know, in the Walmarts that are out here where I'm shopping and the Woodman's and all the places where I'm going out here to shop, you walk in now and there's a sign that says, due to the demand, one per family, one per person. And then you see, you know, all these people in, you know, in one family taking one each and going up to the self-checkout line and ringing themselves out and leaving, you know. As a good Catholic, as a, you know, you really shouldn't be doing that. Look at the society around you. Look at what's going on and say, do I really need the next 12 rolls of toilet paper? You know what I mean? Do I really need that? Or can I get away with four for my household for the next week and then go back next week and get another four? You know, these stores are not closing, and just be just and kind to other people. Don't barrel them over to get a thing of water. Be prudent, be prepared. I'm not saying not to be, but don't barrel people over toilet paper. I guarantee you, Jesus does not want you to barrel people over toilet paper.
Bill, exactly. you bring up a great point. Bill, yeah. You know, the other day, Bill and Ann, we were at the supermarket, and this was before things got really, really bad. This was, I guess, about a week ago or so. And there was a sign, two per family, two rolls of toilet paper. But people were taking more. And my wife and I said, you know what, we're just going to do what we're supposed to do. We took the two. And I'm not going to lie, there was a tendency for a brief minute. I said, I'm just going to grab all I can. But then I realized that's not the right thing to do. And the Lord doesn't want us to act that way. This is an opportunity for us all to trust that He will provide. But a lot of times we're part of that answer to provision. So by me not hoarding toilet paper, I'm going to help somebody else to be provided for. So you bring up a really good point. And here's what, let me say one more thing. I can't believe we're talking this much about toilet paper, but I guess that's where the Spirit is leading us. But, you know, a couple of years ago, we had our hot water heater go out, and I attempted to take a shower without hot water. It was torture. I just never forgot that experience. I kept thinking like, this isn't going to be so bad. I'll just hold my breath. And well, it was horrible. I just hated it. And now every day I thank God for hot water in the house. I really do. I pray, Bill and Ann, that I am able at one time, at some point in my life, to say the thank you, Lord, for giving us this toilet paper. And I am not kidding about that. I mean, these are the little things that we take for granted. Everything that we have is a gift from God. And I pray that I never forget that.
Oh, thanks for saying that, because you're right. Everything is a gift from God.
Yeah.
I think the situation is really challenging all of us, Catholic, Christian, everybody, every human, toward virtue or vice. It's going to be one or the other. And it's decisions that we make right in those moments. And when we come out of this, I think it'll help us to all be better people, to be more empathetic, to be more caring, more kind, because there are the things that are important to God for us to living out our faith. Gary and Bill, I know that you both understand and believe that too.
Oh yeah.
Those are the things that'll help us to live out in a better way.
Yeah, and isn't that the point of Lent? I mean, look at you know, and it's funny talking about control. I speak a lot about control because as somebody who tends to be anxious and who tends to worry if I'm not careful, I'm a control freak. I really am. I want to be in control. And that's where the anxiety comes in. When I can't control a situation, then I can easily become anxious. During Lent, I think one of the things we need to typically going into Lent, we are in charge of what we do for Lent. I decide what I will give up or what I will do. That's the way it's always been for me. But look what happened this year. The Lord took charge. He told us what we're going to be giving up for Lent. We now recognize that he's the boss, or hopefully we'll recognize that we maybe have taken a lot of things for granted. Everything from, I'll say it again, toilet paper to daily mass, I have taken for granted for many years. But now I don't, right at this moment. And again, I pray that I continue to trust or to be grateful for everything that he has given me, because man, everything is a gift from the Lord.
Yeah. Can I ask you just, I love what you just said about taking things for granted, from toilet paper to daily mass. But do you think, just, this just popped in my head as a random thought maybe. Do you think that the connection that God has of stripping us from both toilet paper and daily mass right now for most of us around the globe is helping us realize which one is more important? Yet, I mean, like, you know, there has to be one that's more important. I guarantee you that mass is more important, but do you think people are realizing that as they're running out of toilet paper?
Wow, Bill, that is profound. I honestly don't know that answer, and I hope they do realize that. What I would say is this: I have seen, or I have heard of, many families who are now forced to be confined to the home, who are watching daily, who are participating in daily mass through television, through the internet, some of whom may not have been used to doing that. My family and I, my wife and my daughters, we are participating in daily mass over the internet every day. We didn't all go to daily mass every day, but now we are. So what I'm hoping is that after this is over, people will realize how important mass is, and they'll be able to feel that peace that comes from participating in daily mass, and that'll carry out into the rest of their lives, and they'll start appreciating mass better and maybe start attending daily mass. Because a lot of people are, you know, who is it? C.S. Lewis that said, pain is God's megaphone. And I think it's true. Like, we're hurting right now. And all of a sudden, many of us, and look, I include myself in that category. First and foremost, I'm talking about myself. We're listening to the Lord a lot more earnestly than we may have before. It's like, okay, Lord, I hear you. Now speak to me. But before that, we were not being still. To go back to your reference, Bill, we were not being still. We were running around and doing things and not really listening to the Lord. We're being still now. And it's like, okay, Lord, we're listening. What do you have to say? Yes. So I'm thinking that daily mass attendance and even Sunday mass attendance, because we know the statistics. A lot of people who call themselves Catholic don't feel the need to go to Sunday mass. Well, I hope that's going to change. And I think it will.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree. I was just thinking that, Gary, I was just thinking exactly what you said about Sunday mass, because it's a great opportunity for those who never, ever think about God, Jesus, sacraments, to get, you know, to watch that mass on Sunday is a great opportunity.
Yeah. And, you know, can I just say, the other thing about watching Sunday mass or watching, daily mass is that, this Sunday this Saturday night, I was preparing. I was like, you know what? There's this mass on. And you had texted me, there's this mass on, right? So I said, all right, I'm going to turn it on. But I also was going to do something. I was also going to do something else. You know, I was going to work out on my exercise bike. And so, I said, I'm going to watch the mass on my exercise bike. And let me tell you something. It was the most profound experience. I was totally focused on the mass. I couldn't believe it. As I was pedaling on this, you know, little spinner that I have in my spare bedroom, I'm watching the mass, and my whole heart is, you know, completely invested in it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't pay this much attention when I go to church, you know? Wow. And I was like, wow, what is going on? So I think people, have a unique opportunity to maybe focus more on the mass and the words of the mass, you know, because we get so wrapped up in, our, you know, attendance at mass. Sometimes I've checked my box, you know, I've checked my box this week for, you know, and there's a large group of people that say, I don't need to do it. Great. You know, there's 80% or whatever that say, you know, I don't need to go to mass. But for the other people, there's a lot of people in the pews that just check a box every Sunday. And by watching it, you're actually intentionally turn it on, and you have to pay attention enough. You have to pay attention enough to the words over the internet. You can't just, you know, sit there in church and look at your neighbor or worry about what, you know, Cheerios your kid are throwing down the, you know, side of the pew. You know, you're actually paying attention. And, you know, for me, while I was on my exercise bike, I was able to really focus because, you know, maybe I was pedaling and, you know, whatever, but I was just like, man, I am totally engaged in this. You know, and it was taking my mind off all the pedaling I was doing maybe, but man, I was able to listen and it was feeding me. So don't be afraid to maybe, you know, and that's the first time I've ever attended mass on a exercise bike, by the way. but don't be afraid to maybe think outside the box for your mass attendance. You know, sit down with your family and watch it, you know, have a conversation afterward, you know, about the readings, about the mass, what you liked, what you didn't like. There are so many amazing places you can go, right? I mean, I can be in Munster, Indiana with the Carmelites, then I can be St. Bridget's Parish in Philadelphia watching mass. You can go amazing places too and see different masses and different styles of it. So enjoy it.
Yeah. It's amazing. Can everybody hear me okay? I hope so. I know my internet connection. So lifting up that prayer that, speaking of trusting God, as I said, you know, that God will keep this internet connection. I mean, everything that you both are saying is really resonating with me, and especially about mass attendance. I think about people that I know who have been away from church for quite a while, and now instead of having to get in the car and drive there, they can look at their phone and watch a mass maybe for the first time in years. So, you know, masses that people share on the internet.
Yes. Evangelization, right, Gary? I mean, it's okay to share the mass with your friends too, right? It's okay to tell people to tune in while you're watching.
Oh yeah. And that's what I'm seeing and more of. And I am amazed to see, and Bill, as you were talking, it's hitting me that these are more examples of how the Lord is bringing good out of a bad situation. And he does this all the time. He can always bring good out of any evil, out of any sickness, out of any tragedy that happens. And that is the only reason why he allows these things to happen, because he can always bring good out of it. Bill, and there are conversions taking place right now. I am having an internal conversion. As I said, I've realized that I've taken things for granted. And now I'm beginning to understand that I really haven't surrendered my life fully to Jesus. I say I've done it, but I really haven't. Because if I did, then I wouldn't complain about anything. I wouldn't complain when the store's out of chicken. There, I'm not going to talk about toilet paper. We'll shift it to chicken. That's but it's true, you know. Like, so if I really have surrendered control, I'm not going to complain about not being able to go to mass or about not being able to get my favorite product at the store. I'm not going to be complain about being confined to my home. But, you know, this is a process. And I think for all of us, it's a constant conversion that goes on throughout our lives. And it's a learning process for me and for so many others. But Bill, you bring up so many good points about the mass, that we are being able to see things that we may not have noticed before, because sometimes it's distracting to be in a crowd of people. People are making noises. You're hearing the guy behind you cough. And look, I was a germaphobe before it got really cool. So I have twin daughters who are 20, 23 right now that they were born premature. So I understand the importance of hand washing. My wife and I have had that drilled in our head for many years. But so when somebody would be sick around me, I'd be really aware of that. And that sometimes gets very distracting at mass. So now I'm in the cave, if you will, confined to my home. And kind of like the prophet Elijah was when he was waiting for the Lord to appear. He's in a cave. The Lord appears to him. And then at some point in time, it's time to get out of the cave. Hopefully I will have learned something and I'll be less distracted when I go to mass.
Yeah, thanks for sharing, Gary. Hey, can you tell us about your new show? I know that you have a new podcast that's relaunching.
Yeah, thank you, Ann, for letting me talk about that. Well, here's the deal. The other day, my family and I were taking a drive, and for many years, I did a nightly podcast on, it was on Blog Talk Radio, and it was syndicated to different, or distributed through other podcast outlets as well. And I was really able to connect with many people over the years. I don't know how many years I did this, but many, many years. I was on daily. I started out as 15 minutes a night. I upped it to 30. Then I was doing 60 minutes each night. I was leading retreats on the air. I was leading total consecration to Jesus through Mary. I mean, I would just go wherever the Spirit would lead. And then eventually I took a job at a parish and in Pennsylvania. And I also had a daily radio program on Holy Spirit Radio in Philadelphia. It got too much for me. And with my traveling and my speaking, I gave up the podcast. It was called Following the Truth with Gary Zimak, and I gave it up. But over the weekend, it just hit me that I think I need to be doing this again and be that daily voice again and really walking with people through this crisis. So I decided to restart the program. It began last night. Following the Truth with Gary Zimak is back. Once again, I'm doing it through Blog Talk Radio, but it's also going to all of the podcast outlets as well. And my hope is that this show is going to allow me to connect with others as we travel these uncertain times and just share some scripture, some hope, some inspiration, kind of like what you guys are doing, to let them know that they're not walking this walk by themselves. We're all in this together, and we're going to get through this. We're going to come out of this. So, yeah, it's been very well received, and I'm going to keep doing it for as long as I think I'm supposed to be doing it.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome, Gary. You know, I mean, one of the things that I appreciate about your ministry is that you are so real and so committed to it. I mean, it's amazing. So many of us in the Catholic speakers and media world do this because they have to do it, but you don't do it because you have to do it. You do it because you want to feed people and help people and help people grow. And here's the thing, doing it every night is a big commitment. That is a massive commitment. I want people to realize that how big of a commitment that is. I mean, I know that I have a weekly show and Ann and I do this twice a week, and we know how large the commitment is. So in order to do it twice every day, folks, you have the opportunity to follow Gary, every day and get some nuggets of wisdom out of his brain, which is awesome and amazing. He's an incredible author with that amazing book, Give Up Worry for Lent. But beyond that, he's just got some great nuggets of wisdom for you each and every night. So definitely tune into it. And they can find, and are you live on Blog Talk too, or is it just a,
No, I recorded earlier today and I loaded up, it's 30 minutes each night. I record it. It goes up at about 4 p.m. Eastern time. That's the plan. And then it makes its way into iTunes and the other places where it's supposed to go. Bill, you're very kind. Thank you. And thank you for your support too. You helped me out when I came. I went on Facebook Live the other night and I said, I can't do this. I don't have the money to do this on my own. And I hate to ask for donations, but being in full-time ministry and supporting my family this way and getting all of my speaking work for the foreseeable future canceled.
Right.
I mean, I had to do it, and people like you, Bill, stepped up, and I'm very grateful. And many others said, yeah, we want to support you. We want to support this. So I said, all right, let's do this. And fortunately, everything was in place from when I gave up the show 2 years ago, and I was able to get it up and running very quickly. But, you know, I appreciate what you're saying. But, Bill, I'm a weak guy. I really am. I am very weak. I'm very flawed. I'm very very much prone to anxiety. But I'll tell you, the Lord has helped me so much. And I try to be as transparent as possible and tell people that if the Lord can give me peace, and he does, I'm feeling really peaceful right now. But I know I can easily get spun up and worked up and start to worry again. But if he can give me peace, he can give you peace. All you got to do is don't make the mistake that Peter did when he tried to walk on the water. He was walking on the water. It was working okay when he was looking at Jesus. When he took his eyes off Jesus and started looking at the waves and the storm, he began to sink. That's what's going to happen to us. So as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we are going to be okay. And one final thought on that, Bill and Ann, in terms of me being weak. One time I was giving a talk somewhere, and you know, in all my books and when I speak publicly, I always let people know what a mess I am and how weak I am and what a knucklehead I can be. Some guy came up to me at the end. He said, "Gary, you know what? I was feeling really bad about myself when I came in here. But after listening to you, I realized that you're a bigger mess than I am." I said, "Praise God," however that message gets across, right? And that's the thing. The Lord's not looking for superstars. He's not looking for people who are strong necessarily. He just is looking for people who say yes and let him work through our lives. Bill, you were talking about the charismatic renewal. That was a big part of my coming to Jesus many years ago. And I've learned the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, if you let the Holy Spirit work in your life, you're going to be looking like Jesus. And that's my next book is going to be about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Beautiful. This is what we are called to do. We're called to look like Jesus. We are called to be transformed into Jesus. If we let his Spirit work through us, that's going to happen. But that requires that bad word, surrender. I got to surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And my final thought on this is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is peace. So for anybody who's worried or anxious right now, the Holy Spirit's not freaking out. If we just let the Holy Spirit work through us, we're going to be able to experience his peace.
I love that. The Holy Spirit is not freaking out.
Right? Maybe he's not.
No, he's not. Yeah, what a beautiful. Great. Oh, my gosh. That's so beautiful. The Holy Spirit is not freaking out, folks. I totally love that. You might find me stealing that, Gary.
Yeah. Steal away, brother.
Because it's so wonderful.
Thank you.
But yeah, I mean, amazing.
I just want to make a shout out to people listening about Gary's book again, Give Up Worry for Lent. It's the perfect time. And I know that it's available on Amazon and Kindle. So that book.
Yes, Amazon and Kindle. Yep. All these books and I know you sold out too, right? Didn't you sell out on Amazon?
It's sold out, but they're restocked now, and I just got word that this coming weekend I'm going to be featured on EWTN Bookmark talking about Give Up Worry for Lent, so you can also get the book through EWTN Religious Catalog. So it's back at Amazon, it's back I think at Barnes & Noble. Ave Maria Press, the publisher, has plenty of them, and EWTN now sells it. So the book is available, and a lot of people are loving the Kindle version. The Kindle version is selling really well, mainly when the paperback went out of print again this year, the Kindle version became very popular. So just real quickly, I got a note from somebody overseas last night. It was on Facebook saying that they're reading my book. They didn't intend to read it, but all of a sudden it just popped into their hands. And it's just amazing how people are finding this book and how this book is blessing people. This is my seventh book, and I'm not sure the exact number, but I think I'm very close. And this is a seasonal book too. So I think I'm very close to this being my best-selling book ever out of any of the other ones. Mm. And the first one came out in 2012. So this gives you an idea. This book is selling rapidly. You know why? Because people want to break free from worry. And for some reason, this idea of doing it during Lent is very attractive to people. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for this idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, you say it beautifully there. I think there are so many people out there that want to break free from the anxiety and worry in mm-hmm. their life. And, you know, it changed you. I mean, it changed you down when you are constantly anxious. I know that personally. I know it personally.
Yeah.
That it's like a boat anchor you're dragging around, waiting for another shoe to drop or waiting for something to happen.
Exactly.
And you've got to, you know, trusting in the Holy Spirit is one of the big things. And you were talking about peace earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the things that I remember praying about with the fruits of the Holy Spirit are, you know, the gifts are freely given, right? They're mm-hmm. they're freely given, you know, to us in baptism and confirmation, and they're strengthened and all of those things. But with the fruits, there's a key difference. They grow out of our response to God. So yes. so when, you know, you might have the gift, you know, the gift of wonder and awe, and that's great. Like, you know, God gives you that gift at certain moments in your life, and strengthens those gifts. Great. But when, or, you know, fortitude or courage or whatever, but when you get the gift of, or the fruit of peace, it's actually growing out of your response to God. So God is calling you to do something. And when you do it, when you lay the anxiety down, when you lay the burden at the foot of the cross and are guided by, you know, a wonderful book like Gary's to help you do that, what then happens is peace starts flowing out of you because it's a fruit. It bears fruit in your soul. So that is, you know, I always like that insight and difference between the two. And so for listeners out there, you know, if you think you're just going to have peace and get peace from God, no, it's a response of your action of saying, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I lay these anxieties, lay these worries at your feet right now to do with as you will. And then peace floods in, you know, afterward. Because it's that response of trusting God wholly. And man, that's a hard thing to do. As you mentioned earlier, it is a hard thing to do. We want to control everything.
Yeah. 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 Bill, that's a great point. I'm so glad you brought that up. Right. And you're exactly right. What you said about fruits being the fruits of the Holy Spirit being a response to letting the Holy Spirit work in your life. And that's the thing that I didn't do for so many years. But I have to do this on a daily basis. Every day I ask the Father for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I ask him several times a day. And then I know that he answered that prayer because Jesus said he would. And one of the things we need to remember is the fact that Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount, he commanded us to not worry. He said very clearly, do not worry. He said, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about clothes. Do not worry about your life. You know, he said that very clearly. And at least twice in the New Testament, we hear God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son. We hear it at the baptism of the Lord, and we hear it at the Transfiguration. Listen to him. That's what he said. Listen to my Son. And the very last recorded words of Mary in Scripture at the wedding of Cana are, do whatever he tells you. So what did he say? He said, do not worry. So therefore, it must be possible, and I need to take it seriously, and I can be afraid and not worried at the same time. And I think that's what we need to remember. Fear is an emotion, but worry is a conscious choice. So, Bill, as you said, it's hard to trust in Jesus. It is. And sometimes I am scared to death, and I still consciously read those words at the bottom of the Divine Mercy image and say, Jesus, I trust in you. I think I don't get what you're doing, Lord. I think your methods are wacky. I wouldn't do it this way, but you're the boss. I trust in you. I'm scared. And then all of a sudden that peace starts flowing through me. Man, you know, I'm a work in progress still. I'm still working on this, but I have seen this time and time again that if you do that, if you say, Jesus, I trust in you, you take over, Jesus, and you start reading Scripture and you start praying, all of a sudden you start to feel a little peaceful. And it's like, yeah, now the Holy Spirit's flowing in me. And that's what we need to do constantly, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it really is a constant thing. And, you know, I wonder if people get weary of that. And, you know, I think that's one of the mm-hmm. big things we talk about, you know, with discouragement, is that we get weary of constantly having to do that and maybe yeah. not seeing the fruits we want to see in our prayer life or in our personal life. You know, we pray for something so hard and it doesn't align with the way we are looking at the control of our lives. You know, God, I want to have the fastest car. I want to have the, you know, and when we don't get it, then it's like, okay, well, God, you didn't deliver there. God, you didn't deliver there. But, but he's not about meeting immediate needs. He's about being with you throughout your course of your life and giving you the plans that are best for you. He has great plans for you. It's a, the scripture says, I have great plans for you, right? You know, plans for your benefit, not for your demise, folks. But trusting him to allow that plan to work, man, we all want to have so much control, and you're so right. We want to have so much control, and it's hard to constantly do it, but we have to constantly do it. And maybe that's the, you know, the big question is how do we, as individuals, just persevere? What are some of those ways that we can just persevere through the muck? I mean, there's people who are just stuck in the muck, you know, stuck in that quagmire of stuff out there. How do we persevere through that when we're not seeing any, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, any fruit coming from our prayers?
Bill, I think the only way we can do that is to be walking with the Lord every day. And what do I mean by that? I mean that we need to be praying and reading. You got to read the Bible every day. I mean, as a cradle Catholic, this is not something I grew up doing. I went to 12 years of Catholic school. We did not read the Bible outside of a religion class, or, you know, you hear it in church, but we didn't do that. But somewhere along the line, when I really had, I would call my major conversion experience, I started realizing that when I read the Bible, God is speaking to me. That's why my books are filled with scripture passages and verses, because I want people to hear the Lord speak through scripture. I wake up every day and I read. I have a series of spiritual readings that I do. That varies depending on the situation. I read the daily mass readings. I let the Lord speak to me. And, you know, you don't have to do this for 2 hours a day. Start with a couple minutes, just reading the daily mass readings, reading the responsorial psalm, reading something, let the Lord speak to you. And as you get to know him better, and as you get used to committing to pray, whether you feel like it or not, I think that's part of the deal too. There are days that I just don't feel it. And I tell the Lord, hey, Lord, I'm not feeling it today, because, you know, you can't fool the Lord. He knows how you feel, so you might as well be honest with him. Just do it anyway. You do it out of love, not for what you can get out of him. The more you do that, the more you get used to that habit of connecting with him throughout the day, each day, the easier it becomes to trust him, the easier it becomes to give him the benefit of the doubt. And as you said, Bill, every prayer is not going to be answered the way I want it. And that's a good thing, because I think for all of us, if we look back over the course of our lives, we're going to find at least one occasion where we thank God for not answering a prayer in the way we wanted, because he had something better for us. And that's a key point. On my weekly radio program, I do a weekly podcast in addition to the Daily Show. And that's with Breadbox Media, and again, syndicated in podcast outlets and carried by several Catholic radio stations. But I recorded this weekend show yesterday, and the gospel for this upcoming Sunday's Mass, the fifth Sunday of Lent, is about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And the original request from Martha, Lazarus's sister, was that Jesus would heal Lazarus. Well, Lazarus wasn't healed. He was allowed to die. Why? Because Jesus planned to do something better. He planned to raise him from the dead. And I think that's something for us to remember, the point you brought up. If he says no to me, it's only because he's got something better planned for me. And how do you believe that? You believe that by walking with him every day and getting to know him better. I know it's a long answer, but that's what I feel. And now I'm at the point where I give him the benefit of the doubt. And sometimes people say to me, Gary, you're crazy. Why are you trusting God? How could he do this? I trust him. You know, look at how we were redeemed by the crucifixion of Jesus. I mean, you couldn't have come up with a better way, God the Father, than that, but you got to trust him. Look what happened. Yeah. You got fruits, right? But anyway, I'm done. I get excited, guys, when I talk about the Lord.
Good.
Well, I love it. I love it. Thank you. I wonder, Gary, could you give us your website information and also the podcast again, so that people can find out exactly how to connect?
Yes, and thank you. My website is followingthetruth.com, followingthetruth.com. And then the podcast, if you just search in any of the podcast apps for Following the Truth with Gary Zimak, you'll be able to find it there. In addition to the Gary Zimak Show, which airs weekly, I have very creative names that I came up with. I figure I'll put my name in there. I'll be easy to find. And I'm not too hard to find. If people just Google my name, Zimak, they'll find all of my resources.
Awesome. Awesome, Gary. You know, this, it's just been so great to have you on today, sharing with our listeners about this. And I want to remind our listeners too, you know, this is a brand new show as well. Really, we've been on the air, I think, this is 11 episodes. So what is that? 3 weeks or so, 4 weeks, almost 4 weeks, that we've had this show live on Podbean and on YouTube. And, you know, I want people to recognize and know that as this show grows, you know, make sure you share it with a friend too. You know, take it and share it with a friend where, you know, we're live, which is wonderful, but, you know, you can always listen to it on repeat. We're on all the major podcast, you know, things as well. You know, any podcast app that you have out there, you know, just look for, you know, Patchwork Heart Ministry and Sowing Hope. You'll find, the podcast, those two ways. And then just, you know, we want people to connect with us, and I'm sure it's the same way with you, Gary, in your ministry. You want people to email and reach out to you and connect, because, you know, we are all in this together. And, you know, we keep hearing that a lot in society right now. We're all in this together. There's, you know, a new TV commercial that comes on and says, we're all in this together. We all are dealing with the coronavirus, but we're also all in this boat with worry, anxiety, trying to overcome these things together. So, the only way we can reach, you know, help you is if you help us by reaching out to us and saying, hey, I like this. Hey, I bought your book. Hey, this is something that we want, you know, in your program. I really liked how you said this. That is connecting and with us. And I'm sure you invite people to do that to your ministry too, Gary.
I do, Bill. And before we go, I just want to tell you guys, Ann and Bill, both of you, I see what you're doing, and I just think it's so phenomenal, and I am so inspired by both of you. You're looking for these new avenues, and you're doing so many different things. Bill, I'm watching you grow and your ministry grow. Thank you for what you do, because not only have you both helped me in this hour, and I'm so grateful that we got to chat, because that's what we do. We build one another up, but I'm watching you help other people and follow the inspiration of the Spirit, and I just want to say, keep up the good work and continue to bring the good news to people in so many different ways. I've tried a lot of things that have not worked. I've tried things that have worked, and I find that the door is not always open. I'm not afraid to fall on my face. Mother Angelica said the same thing too. She gets an inspiration, she would run with it. If the Holy Spirit wants it to succeed, it'll succeed. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I watch you guys, and you're continuing to grow, and you're continuing to reach out, and you're continuing to bring souls to Jesus Christ. So keep up the great work. And, you know, I'm here. If I can ever help you both in any way, I would love to do so. But I would just say you're doing phenomenally. And thanks for letting me be a part of this program.
Yeah, absolutely.
Means so much. Means so much, Gary. It's such a pleasure. I would invite you, and I'm sure you too, Bill, bring him back.
Oh yeah.
Bring Gary back. It would be amazing. Bill, could you tell our listeners about the event that's coming up on Saturday?
Yes, I will. So folks, one of the little things that popped in our head, Anne and mine and a bunch of people's heads that are Catholic speakers out there, is to do an online conference. So on Saturday, March 28th, which is this coming Saturday, folks, we are going to be doing a live online conference on the Fiat Ministry Network. And so we've got great speakers. Anne is one. I'm going to end up probably emceeing the event, but we've got wonderful people like Judy Hare, Ray Haywood. We have got amazing speakers that you want to hear and that you want to encounter during this time of, you know, crisis in our country. And, you know, honestly, so many of the parish missions, so many of the, you know, things have been canceled, conferences have been canceled, that people are hungering for more in their spiritual life during this time of Lent. So I encourage you, head over to the Patchwork Heart Ministry website and click on the online store. This conference will be entirely free, but we are asking for a suggested donation of $28. And if you can please go ahead and just register over on the site. We'll have all those links up and changed over for you. But go ahead over, register for the site on the site, and submit your stuff to attend this conference. It's going to be uplifting. We have wonderful speakers. We have wonderful technology. I want to give a huge shout out to Kent Kolholski of Fiat Ministry Network for coordinating all the technology from all of us all around the country. He is an absolute genius when it comes to doing all of that. So I want to thank him for really coordinating all of this and helping us all get on the air together for an all day, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. We're going to have closing mass as well. It's going to be live streamed. So we really, really encourage you to tune in, to sign up. And of course, you know, I just mentioned the suggested donation thing because, you know, many of us just like, you are out there, you know, looking for, you know, peace in these times, but we're also, you know, need financial security, folks. A lot of these speakers have had massive events canceled. You know, each and every one of us have parish missions or events or things that were coming up on our schedules to come out and serve you and see you and, you know, sell books and all those things. And guess what? With coronavirus, all those events get canceled. So if you can be generous, we would love that. If not, you know, it'll be totally and entirely free for you and your family to attend. You know, share the links with your neighbors, your friends. So yeah, I know I'm looking forward to it, and I know you're looking forward to it as well. Just to be able to connect with people and encounter them in a deep way, and you know, just because we're separated by you know, distance and in front of computer screens doesn't mean we're not with them and wholly present to them during that time, right? Did I lose everybody? Maybe I lost everybody.
I'm here, Bill.
Oh, you're here. All right.
Well, let me fill in for Anna and just say that's an example of the great things that you guys are doing.
Thanks. Thank you. Absolutely. Well, you know, so one other quick reminder, folks, that we got about 2 minutes left. So just one other quick reminder that, again, find us on patchworkheart.org. Patchworkheart.org is the place that you can go to find out all about our ministries. And DeSantis.com is where you can go find about Anne. I mean, she's got a wonderful TV show, you know, the positive side. So if you're uplifted and you're ready for more, visit our websites. We would love to be able to connect with you all. And definitely want to give a big thank you to Gary Zemek for spending his morning with us. Some of his quarantine, some of his shelter at home morning with us here on our brand new show, Sowing Hope. Thank you so much, Gary.
My pleasure, Bill and Ann. Thank you. Thanks. I feel a lot better now. Thanks for having me on. Can we do this again?
Yes, we will right, do it again. Man. We will do it again for sure.
Your guys are awesome.
All right. Well, hey. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you again. And yes. All right. Well, yes. Yes, Gary, you are. And thank you so much. Keep praying, everybody, for our internet to stay up for our conference for sure, too. That is a big prayer that we all need for our conferences. Just keep that going. But we hope you join us on Saturday. We do have another show on Thursday as well, coming up for Sowing Hope. So Thursday at 6 o'clock PM, we have one morning show, one evening show, to meet all the different timelines of people's schedules. So, Thursday, 6 PM, right back here, same time, same place, same bat channel as they used to say in the 1960s. So, thank you guys so very much. And, we'll look forward to seeing you then. So for Ann DeSantis and Gary Zemek, I am Bill Snyder. Signing off. Until next time, keep beating to your Catholic heart and sowing hope into those broken hearts. Thanks for listening to this episode of Sewing Hope on Patchwork Heart Radio. For more information about this podcast and our ministries, visit our websites, patchworkheart.org and andysantis.com. You can also follow and interact with us on Twitter at PWH Ministry or Andy Santis 2.